today on Real Radio.
But notice that way back in the Old Testament, though your sins be red like crimson, I'll make them as white as snow. How does God do that? He does that based upon a sacrifice.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? Now, certainly a key reason we don't deserve heaven is sin. Now, in the eyes and presence of a perfect and holy God, our sin nature keeps us from His presence and, of course, having the fellowship with Him. So, exactly how is this problem dealt with? Do we simply say a prayer and expect Him to wink at sin and, you know, look the other way? Well, Scripture is quite specific on how to take care of the sin problem. It's done on His terms only, and His terms are quite serious, as we'll see. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his series in a message called How Does God Forgive Our Sin?
And it's a famous painting by somebody I don't know, but they're very famous. I don't remember who it is. It was like somebody. I mean, really big. It was like a Raphael or something like that, and they copied it. And it was black and white, and this sinner, this man, is hanging on the feet of Jesus, hanging on around his calves, his ankles. And the only color in the whole painting was this fiery, bearded, windswept man, and he's got these two stones, and he's coming down like this, and his eyes were red, and he's coming down, and he's getting ready to crush the sinner with the Ten Commandments. It's Moses. And Jesus has got the sinner like this, and Jesus has got his hand on the law, keeping the law from hitting the sinner. What a great picture that is. Don't forget that. The law, Moses, was to drive us. The book of Galatians says that the law was, in the Greek word is pedagogus. It's in English, it's schoolmaster. Schoolmasters are not your friend. Schoolmasters are your teachers. And if there are any, value to them, they don't care about being your friend. They care about you reading. They care about you knowing real history. They care about you getting your math right, and they're almost ruthless. You're not going home tonight until you get this problem solved, is a good schoolmaster. The Bible says the law is a schoolmaster to drive us to Christ. Why? That we get forgiveness. It's a powerful thing. And then also this, thirdly, under this point, it's humanly impossible. Forgiveness is God's idea, and it's humanly impossible. By that I mean this, that it takes the love of God in our hearts to forgive a person of wrong. It takes the love of God. You say, Jack, I've known non-believers who have forgiven people. You know what? They listen, I don't mean to belittle anybody. It is humanly impossible to issue the forgiveness that God requires in humanity. We can't do it. Well, I forgive, you know, I heard people, they said they forgave that person. Listen, there is a sense where we get the idea from this. You know the old burying the hatchet but the handle still sticking out concept? I'll forgive you, but the handle of the hatchet still sticking out? That's how the world forgives. It's conditional. God is the only one who's unconditional. When He forgives us, it's forgiven. In fact, let's be honest. It's so cool. Doesn't God say, when I forgive you, I forget? He says, I don't remember your sin anymore. Oh, praise the Lord, because I sure do. Hey, come on, it's true. You know what? If I ran outside right now, while during worship, you're all singing and stuff, and I was out there in the parking lot, and I took my key and I keyed all of your cars going through the park. I'm kidding. But what... Some guy's sitting there, I just brought my brand new Porsche here tonight. It's all keyed up. No, I'm kidding, but what if? What if you caught me doing something like that? And like we were kids, remember there's like this little safety zone on timeout, or Ollie Oxenfree, free, free, free. Timeout. You're playing tag and the person gets right near you and you go, timeout. Remember that? It's not in the rule book, but we did it. We would say, you have to forgive me. You have to forgive me. And that is true when and where repentance is in effect. We'll talk more on that later. But in the human heart, it's impossible for us to forgive the way that God would want forgiveness to be issued. Every day, those that have hurt us, those that have wronged us, we have forgiven them. But let's be honest, every time you hear their name or see their picture, don't you have to deal with the forgiveness again? Let's say Mikey really upset you, really bad, really ripped you off, and then Mikey came back and said, man, I'm so sorry, I did the wrong thing, and I sold your stuff on eBay, and you'll never get it back, I'm sorry. You're forgiven. Okay. But every time you hear the word eBay, huh? Mikey? Or you see him. This is what you do. Hey, Mikey, you crook. You have to deal with it again, don't you? It's true. That's how we have to do it. We battle with it. And then we even have to say, Lord, please give me forgiveness. Put forgiveness in my heart for that person. I must forgive them. As you have forgiven me, Father, I must forgive them. It's humanly impossible. Without God's aid, it's not going to happen. Ephesians chapter 2. This is a great portion of Scripture. Ephesians 2:5. Listen to this. Ephesians 2:5 says, for he made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. So what does that mean? God, who is eternal, check it out. Because look, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. How is it that Jesus died for your sins when you're going to be born 2,000 years later? Because it wasn't some man on the cross dying for your sins. It was the God-man on the cross dying for your sins. God was there. And here's the amazing thing. You have to watch me now. Are you looking? Change this. Change that. There you go. Watch. Are we there? Since creation up to the cross, the Old Testament teaches that people were forgiven based upon what was coming. Okay? The Old Testament believers looked ahead to the cross. Abraham looked ahead to the cross. Noah looked at Job, talked about the Messiah coming. David, Daniel, chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. Isaiah, chapter 52, 53. Micah, chapter 5. On and on it goes. They looked ahead to this point, the cross. You and I live 2,000 years beyond the cross. We look back to the cross. The ancient world looks toward the cross. This modern world looks back at the cross. The cross is the pivotal moment in human history. And our sins are forgiven based upon this fact, that God is eternal, and before the universe was ever created, God, who is eternal, never arrives in a time zone. God does not live in a time zone. You and I get in an airplane and we fly, and it's always bizarre to me because when we leave LAX and we land in Europe, it's another day in the morning and you're still sleeping. And if you're not traveling with me, everybody else that you know, they're still in bed and you're in another day on the calendar. Or if we head west and just get past Hawaii just a little bit, it's still daylight. And we cross a line, and the pilot will announce, we just entered into tomorrow a moment ago, and so today now is November, blah, blah, blah. And it's a day ahead. You say, how'd that happen? Well, one leg is in Sunday, and truly, this leg is in Monday. God does not live like that. God, who is eternal, sees everything now. Isn't it weird? He lives in the eternal, what's known as the eternal now. God sees creation. God sees the end of the world. God sees Adam and Eve right now in the garden. God sees World War II. He sees what you're going to eat tomorrow. Isn't that trippy? He lives in the eternal. When you understand that, you realize that those of you who believe in Christ, God knew. In fact, people want to get all excited about predestination. Predestination. Well, let's talk about it. You don't have the right to talk about it until you read the whole thing in order. Book of Romans says, based upon God's foreknowledge, he predestined. Everybody wants to talk about predestination, but no one wants to talk about foreknowledge. He knows everything before it happens. And so based upon his foreknowledge, he predestines. So check this out. Ephesians 2:5, for he made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. That means you can't earn it. For God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages, you know, have you ever heard the word eons? That's where it comes from right there. He might show the exceeding riches of his grace revealed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. Isn't it great? No one's going to be walking around heaven saying, hey, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, me. Yeah, Jesus died for my sins, but after I came to Christ, I did pretty doggone good. I did pretty good for myself. Oh, no, people, we're going to be up there in heaven saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Wow, thank you, God, thank you, God. God, thank you. Grace, grace, grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. It's his idea. How does God forgive our sins? Point number two, it's this: forgiveness must be relational. You already know that. You can't have forgiveness unless there's relationships. And you can't have relationships unless there's forgiveness. You live like that? Well, listen, if you live like that, God lives like that. It's amazing to me. He wants you to be forgiven. Get a load of this. You want to go to heaven? Sure do. Guess what? He wants you in heaven more than you want to be in heaven. Oh, I want to accept Christ. I want to accept Christ. Well, then accept him, because he wants you to accept him more than you want to accept him. You want to go to heaven? Yes, I do. He wants you there more than you want to go. Think of that. But there's a catch. What? What's the catch? It's relational, meaning it's alive. And there needs to be a state of repentance from sin. And then forgiveness is issued. Are you sorry for your sin because you got caught like Judas? Judas was really bummed. He got bummed. He was bummed because he got caught. But the Greek word metanoia for repentance is the kind of repentance where you listen, this is gonna flip out the younger generation because you've been taught opposite. Metanoia, the very word that presupposes or preempts salvation, means that you face responsibility for your own wrong. What the young generations are not being taught. And see, it's a satanic trick, by the way, mind you, that if the doctrine can get out to all the young people that you are a victim of everything. So you're not responsible for nothing. And because you burned the cat, you just did that because you weren't breastfed long enough. And when we probe deeper into your life, the reason why you have such a temper problem is because, you know, you walked too early in life and it messed up your head. Excuse after excuse after excuse to keep you from coming to freedom. Where you get a job and you've been working there for 6 weeks and you can't figure out why you're not the CEO of the company. I mean, I've been on time for 5 weeks out of the 6 weeks. How come I'm not, how come I, Where's my raise? This is a dangerous thing, especially when you think that way toward God. Nobody wants to hear that today, but listen, a real relationship, it will dialogue in these things. Will you mark that down? It creates a dialogue. Forgiveness must be relational, and that creates a dialogue. We say, what do you mean by that? Well, I'll tell you what. Mark this verse down. It's Isaiah 1:18. You know it. It says, come now. God's speaking through the prophet to the nation. Come now. God says, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isn't that great? God says, come on, let's talk. Okay. And God begins to speak. Here's the cool thing. God says, come now, let's reason. The word in Greek is let's argue, or Hebrew, let's argue together. Isn't that a great word? God says, come, let us reason. Let's argue. It doesn't mean let's punch each other out. It means you state your case, and I'll state my case. And God's case is always better than your case. It's kind of cute, though. It's like, hey, this, it's kind of rigged, isn't it? I mean, doesn't God always win? Of course he does. But it's better to come to him. It's always better to come to him and lose than to go to him and try to win. He'll just like, what? But notice that way back in the Old Testament, though your sins be red like crimson, I'll make them as white as snow. How does God do that? He does that based upon a sacrifice. See, God reaches us. God wants us to talk with him. Now, those of you who are Christians, raise your hand. You're Christians. Okay, check this out. Put your hands down. Now that we're Christians, when we sin now, please, some of you hear this. When you sin now as a Christian, fellowship with God is broken. It's very important you understand that. Fellowship is severed. Did you hear what I said? I didn't say there was an abortion committed. God does not commit abortions in the family of God. God doesn't throw you out and make you homeless. He doesn't put you outside the city gates. Fellowship's broken. It happens every day in your life, especially if you have kids. I'm serious. Johnny, do this thing. Johnny doesn't do it. So when mom backs up, she runs over the bicycle. He didn't put it away. Now the bike is part of the car. And she says, what? Didn't I tell you to do that? And he disobeyed her. She says, go to your room. He goes to his room. And he's sitting in there. And most, you know, boys, moms, listen carefully to this. This is free advice. Every boy learns at about the age of 4 or 5 how to handle mom. It's true. All we have to do is crawl up into your lap and say, Mommy, I love you. I love you, Mommy. I love you, Mommy. And moms cave in. No, you go to your room. I watched it. Go to your room. He's in trouble. You can't come out until you say you're sorry. That's the requirement. You can't come out until you say you're sorry. So the kid goes in the room, and what happens? He'll get bored eventually playing with his toys and stuff. It's like, I want out of this room. Come on, we all know this. I want out of the room, but I'm not going to say I'm sorry because I'm 5 years old and I know more than anybody on the planet. I'm going to push the envelope. I'm going to try to escape. He opens the door. He begins to motor down the hallway, looking around to see what's happening and to act normal. Once he detects that there's noise in the kitchen, mom must be there. I'm going to go into the TV room as though nothing had ever happened. This is absolute human psychology here. It's the way we are. So he's going along. And she says something like, what are you doing? And he says, what? Didn't I tell you to stay in your room until you're sorry? And he'll say something like, literally they'll say something like, I was wondering if I can go to Bobby's house. Or if you're like me when I was little, I want a new truck for Christmas. Mom says, go to your room. You're not coming out of that room until you say you're sorry. You don't come. Listen, did Mom put him up on eBay to sell him? Did she lock him out of the house? Did she throw him over to the neighbor's fence? No. Is that child still her little boy? Absolutely. But fellowship's broken. They're not going to talk about what's for Christmas or if he can go to Bobby's house. She's waiting for one word. I'm sorry, Mommy. That's true for the life of the Christian right here, right now, tonight. Some of you are living like that. So how do you know? Because there's enough of you here, I'm just guessing. I don't know. Wait. No. No, but there's enough people here where it's mathematical odds. It's like, what? Who? What? Me? What? Yes, you. You're sleeping with bubbles, but you're going to church and you wonder why your life's not blessed. God says, I'm not talking to you. No more bubbles. You repent of that and you walk with me. And the blessings are cut off. You're a Christian, but you're backslidden. You're a Christian, but you're not walking with God now. You're sinning. The Bible says you're sinning. You're his kid, but you are wayward from him. And he's saying, listen, and watch this. He's saying, when you don't obey me, you're on your own. Why is it like that? Because you belong to him. You're the Christian, but you've wandered from him. Fellowship's broken. If you're not a Christian tonight, fellowship's not broken. It was never connected. And you're out there, you're on your own. Like a lighthouse in the night, scanning the ocean. Somewhere out at sea, there's a ship. Nobody can see you. Right now in your life, imagine yourself, forget your body, turn yourself inside out, as it were, and you're a spirit creature, which is what you truly are. You happen to be housed in a physical body fit for this planet. And it's silent. And you're wondering what's going on. And God is silent. When you pray, if you pray, you're wondering, why doesn't it not work? I mean, I've read spiritual books. It doesn't make any sense to me. I've read the Bible. It's insane to me. You know what? You want to know why? Because you have no eyes. You have no ears. The Bible says you're dead spiritually while you yet live. And nothing makes any sense. Don't fool yourself. You've never had a relationship with God. That's scary.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that takes a look at how Scripture answers the question, how does God forgive our sin? How does God forgive our sin? That's the title of this lesson, which is part of Pastor Jack's series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven?, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, I want to remind you about Pastor Jack's midweek study that airs every Wednesday night live on hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. You know, we've got a few programs on hischannel.com. His channel is where you can watch Journey with Jack Hibbs, which airs different times during the week, Real Life with Jack Hibbs that airs every Monday night at 7 West Coast time, and Pastor Jack's midweek study live on Wednesday nights at 7:30. Those are all West Coast times. In fact, we have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.